Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
You know, it's really interesting to look out of the studio window and see a thunderstorm. Actually, it's not raining in downtown New Orleans, but it's raining on the West Bank. It looks like it might be heading in this direction. But, you just heard in our news, there's this system in the Gulf of Mexico. It is not expected to develop beyond bringing us showers. But over the next couple of days, we're going to have a chance of rain. And, man, what a break from the weather. I hope the rain doesn't affect any of your plans. But it is nice to get the rain. It is nice to get a break from the weather. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. We've been talking about the campaign of 2024, and you know there's new stuff going on, but it's really all the same stuff, really. This has been talked about before. We're kind of focusing it a little bit more on this. If you're voting for Trump because your life was better when he was president, why was your life better when Trump was president? And what did he do for you? And what do you think he will do for you if he's elected to make your life better? Now, there are a lot of you voting for Trump, and your life is better now. There are a lot of people in the stock market with a lot of money in the stock market. They're doing really well. And think of all the conservatives that have money in the stock market, and they're doing really well. Under the Biden administration, the stock market has done really, really well. So you certainly don't want everybody to vote based on how their life is financially. You know, a lot of people vote for a president or a candidate because they think it's going to help their business. Well, what about me? If Donald Trump becomes president, that's going to help my business, because if Donald Trump is president, that's going to certainly give me a lot to talk about. We'll have a lot to talk about if Trump loses. I don't think Trump's going to go anywhere, but I don't wake up every morning hoping to talk about Donald Trump. In fact, I hope one day that I wake up and come on the air and we don't have Donald Trump to talk about anymore. I don't want anybody to take that as any kind of threat against Donald Trump, but, you know, I don't relish talking about this man on a regular basis. And I know many of you are going to vote for him and you're diehard Trump supporters, and this is America, and you have a right to be that way. I also have a right to my opinion. So we'll talk more about this coming up, and we've got a lot of text to get to as well. But first, I thought we would just touch base with somebody who knows more about this than we do. When it comes to this constitutional carry law, the new law here in Louisiana, and Police Chief Pierre Marshall is at the University of Holy Cross. He joins us on WWL. Chief, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's cool. Thank you, man. Glad to be a part of this.
All right.
Let's dive right on into it. Let's get it.
Yeah, listen, talk about how this constitutional carry law is going to affect average citizens. And what do you think it's going to do? Or now, basically what this, I think constitutional carry was really a political term that was placed on this law. It's the freedom for citizens to carry a concealed weapon without having to get a permit or without having to get any training whatsoever. So just anybody can have a concealed weapon and walk around the quarter or anywhere. What is this going to do to our society?
So what it is, and you're absolutely right, constitution carry for Louisiana is anyone without a felony conviction can have a firearm. Our law went a little bit in depth with it. We went to the age of 18. So the purpose of having this this constitutional carry session over at the University of Holy Cross is to help folks have a better understanding of how it works. You know, we want to empower folks to have an understanding and also to be able to exercise their constitutional right. But Scoot, I got to be cautious with this, man, because there's been a couple of reports that come out where we are starting to see 15-year-olds and, 16-year-olds bringing guns to the school. And that was one of my biggest concerns when they passed this law to have 18-year-olds given the right to also possess a handgun. Now, of course, at the age of 18, you can purchase a long gun in the state, any one of the 50 states that we have in the union. But when you put a spin on it, when you add a pistol to it, now something that you can even conceal more, it becomes a little bit alarming for the police departments. Now, I am never going to be against anyone's constitutional right to bear arms, provided that they act responsibly. And I think this is the issue that most folks that I've talked to that have called me and asked me about it is most concerned about. You know, we know that young people can be a little bit more flared in the temper when they're challenged. And we are beginning to see an increase, not just in Louisiana, but around the country, with road rage. Everybody now wants to solve their problems with a pistol. Everybody wants a firearm. And I'm a little worried about it because I'm a grandfather. I'm also a father, and I'm a little concerned about that. I talk to my family on a regular basis about this. If you're going to purchase a gun, come see Grandpa and let's get some training. Let's talk about de-escalation. Let's talk about, you know, precursors to you know, threats. What can cause a person to get into a situation like that, and what can we do to get out of it?
All right, Chief, let me go back for just a moment. You know, unfortunately, kids carry guns to school sometimes. Do you think these younger people who are carrying guns to school, do you think some of them have been inspired by constitutional carry? And it's not their parents telling them, hey, we got constitutional carry now, man, you could take a gun to school. That's not happening, is it?
No, I don't. We haven't actually saw anything along that line of that nature. I think my problem with that is now the older brother, 18, may have gotten a gun now legally and put that weapon inside the home, and the younger brother decided, hey, I'm going to be a little curious. I'm going to bring my gun, my brother's gun, to school for protection. I'm being bullied now, so now I got a little bit of a lift since I'm able to have a firearm, you know, through my brother. But no, I have not seen constitutional carry actually contribute to what's happening around the country right now.
One of my fears was that there would be some boneheads who would think that, well, I got a right to do this now. I usually don't go to the quarter, but man, now that I can have my gun with me, man, I'm going to hide my gun. I'm going to have a concealed carry, man. I'm going down to the quarter now. They wouldn't go ordinarily, but now they're going to go down there because they can have a gun.
Yeah, I've always had a very cautious approach when it comes to folks going down to the French quarters in New Orleans that, of course, you know, we got a lot of alcohol in that area. And alcohol and firearms just definitely don't mix. We've had that problem before constitutional carry. And I think there's still a couple of ordinances that are out in the city of New Orleans that prohibit you from having a firearm in the quarters right now. I'm not sure at this point if all of that has been worked out with the state legislatures and the city of New Orleans as it relates to that. But I always encourage folks that have talked to me, if you're going to have a good time, you don't have to bring a gun with you down there to have a good time.
Well, I would think that if you're going somewhere and you, I mean, you're not carrying money or you're not using, you know, you don't feel like you need a gun just to be in a certain area because it's dangerous. I mean, I wouldn't go to the quarter if I thought I needed a gun to protect me going to the quarter. I wouldn't go.
Yeah, I agree 100%. If it's that dangerous, don't go. I agree 100%. But still, we have those who want to challenge it. And not just the quarters. We still have Mardi Gras. And that includes both parishes and all parishes in the state of Louisiana. Folks still bring guns out to the Mardi Gras rocks. And there's a law on the books for the state that prohibits that as well. And folks think, now, okay, we got a law. It's constitutional. I can go to these parades with all that. No, that still stands. There's no need. If you're going to have a good time, I just can't understand and fathom why you have to bring a firearm, you know, to a place where you want to go have a good time.
All right, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about constitutional carry. I just wanted to kind of catch up with this. We had an opportunity to talk to Police Chief Pierre Marshall from the University of Holy Cross here in the New Orleans area. So one of the concerns that I have is that I think some people, in fact, I know some people, have bought guns because they're conservative Republicans, and this was their way of exercising and displaying their political ideology. They bought guns for just to, it was part of their politics. You know, they bought guns because the Syrians were coming. Well, the Syrians never came to their neighborhoods, but they bought guns because they were told to buy guns. And it seems like some people are buying guns more as a political expression than as a real device to keep them safe.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. I've had some friends that are Republicans. I'm a Democrat, but it doesn't matter. I'm always voting for the person that's actually qualified to do the job. And we've had a lot of in-depth discussions. Matter of fact, we just had one yesterday in reference to that. And I said, listen, I have no issue with you purchasing a firearm, but look, don't let politics be the reason why you go out here and get yourself in trouble. There's still consequences, Scoop, if you go out here and shoot somebody. And there's still consequences if you're not justifiably in the right and reasonably in the right for that. So to go out here and buy a gun because somebody got on the net or the platform and say, hey, man, you need to go get your gun because we're getting ready to go to war with whomever, it's not always advisable. You know, let's be more responsible about this, especially for those who never fired a gun and never handled a gun. You're just bringing more problems to yourself and anybody else that's out here in the community. I am not against constitutional carry, but I am against folks who are carrying guns and have no type of training on how to handle that weapon.
Yeah, I mean, if you want a gun, if you want to carry a gun and exercise your First Amendment rights, the first thing is to understand that there's responsibility that goes along with rights, and you should want to be trained. But there are some people who don't care about that and think that that's even an infringement on their rights.
And I agree. You know, they do believe that. Again, just because the law was passed doesn't mean there are no consequences for that. And there's no repercussion. There's a lot of repercussion when you're dealing with a deadly weapon in any scenario where a human may lose their life or there's some type of significant injury to that person. And I believe that part of it has not been explained to them. That's why we ask some of the experts to come out tomorrow with us over at the university to kind of dive in deep and get into the legal source of it. I certainly wouldn't advise a person who has never handled a firearm before and try to exercise the right, which you can exercise your right constitutionally, and go out here and hurt somebody, and then you go to court and find differently. Like, well, I thought I was protected. No, there's still some responsibilities on your part, too.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who are in prison right now because they thought they had a right to carry a gun, which they do, but they also thought they had a right to protect themselves. And, you know, this idea of, you know, stand your ground, there's so much misunderstanding about stand your ground laws, and a lot of people are in prison because they don't get it.
That is correct. And that's the part that we don't discuss a lot of, and this is the reason why we want to do this as a whole in the community, to have to sit down and have this conversation, this discussion, to open this dialogue up. And, this, you know, we're going to take some Q&A and try to answer some of the questions as best as our ability to let folks know, you know, this is what you can and can't do. But we also challenge our local DAs and ADAs and Attorney General's office to inform our public. I mean, we happy with having laws passed, but we also excited when we pass a law and we can explain to these folks, you still have a responsibility. Yeah. It's not just the government going to protect you from this.
Well, Chief, be a little more specific about what's happening tomorrow at the University of Holy Cross.
So here we go. We're going to be here on the 29th of August. Our first session for the Constitution of Carry starts at 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. And the other session is going to kick in at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And both sessions will be conducted at the University of Holy Cross Morrow Center. We're located at 4123 Woodland Drive in New Orleans. That's Old Algiers. If you're not familiar with the area, if you get on Woodland, I'm sorry, yeah, if you get on during the Gulf or either Woodland, and you're traveling down to the big bridge, which goes into English Turn back there, you can't miss us. We're right at the corner on the left right there. So okay. If you're in the area, please stop by.
What was the building at the University of Holy Cross?
It's the Morrow Center.
Morrow Center, okay.
Once you come in through Gate C, at 4123, there'll be police officers from the campus police out there directing traffic to get you in.
Okay, is everybody invited?
The entire public, any public official that want to come out, we got the doors open to everyone. We want everybody to partake in this thing.
You know, this is really, really helpful. And, you know, if you are participating in constitutional carry and you don't have any training, you might learn something here that will keep you out of prison. Because a lot of people just like you that thought they knew exactly what to do with a gun did not know. And they're in jail right now. And we've talked about those cases on the show. So, you know, this is a great opportunity. From 3:30 to 5:30 tomorrow, another session from 6 until 8 o'clock at the Morrow Center at the University of Holy Cross, 4123 Woodland Drive in Old Algiers. And Police Chief Pierre Marshall, thanks for being with us on WWL.
Hey, thank you, Scoot. I appreciate you, man. You're doing a wonderful job. I listen to you on a regular basis as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Chief. All right, have a great afternoon. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And if you're on hold, we're going to come back with your calls, and we've got a lot of text to get to. And also, you know, here I take a couple of days off, and I come back, and some of the specifics are different, but it's the same old thing. I mean, nothing really changes. I wasn't gone for that long. It's true, but it's just amazing how the news remains the same. And I would like to think that maybe we can find ways to change things. Also, we're talking about if you're voting for Trump because your life is better, was better when he was president, exactly how was your life better? What did Trump do for you? And what do you think Trump's going to do for you if he's reelected? I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
All right, working this afternoon. Hey, want to thank all of you who tune into our show from 1 to 4 in the afternoon here on WWL. You're working. Thanks for joining us. I hope you're still doing your job. But we do appreciate you being with us. And especially for those of you who spend time in any kind of vehicle, thanks for taking us with you during the day. I'm Scoot on the air. We are halfway to the weekend. That is great news. We'll get to some of your, in fact, let's get to some of your calls now. We've got some text messages coming up. And also, this afternoon, we have to talk about Governor Jeff Landry signing a non-citizen voting executive order. Wow. This is so significant. Governor Landry signed an executive order requiring all Louisiana agencies to provide a disclaimer to anyone who applies for state services or assistance that it is illegal to vote if you're not a U.S. citizen. We'll tell you why this is so important coming up on the show. All right, let's go to Steve in Gramercy. Steve, welcome to WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, man, we're talking about all this division in the country, man. All we got to do, when you have friendships, right, and you're discussing political stuff, man, we got just got to be civil. Don't damage friendships over politicians you don't even know, who don't even know your name.
I know.
You can have different political views, but still treat each other with respect and kindness. That's what we got to do. We're going to have different political views, but we shouldn't have all this division over candidates. I know one person's going to like this one over this, but if that candidate don't even know you and you study in the viewpoints or their political points, that should be first instead of the person itself.
Well, that's what bothers me, the friendships and even family relationships that are estranged now because of Donald Trump and because of my honest opinion of Donald Trump. You know, it's like people have sided with Donald Trump over me, and they don't know Donald Trump, and Donald Trump doesn't even know them. And, you know, it's sad. You know, obviously, you and I are not like that. You and I can put politics aside and maintain relationships, but not everybody can. And to be honest with you, I couldn't have a relationship with somebody who is so blinded by their bias that they cannot see reality or cannot recognize something that is not true.
Yes, that's true, Scott. And that's what I want to show. Don't damage your friendships and your relationships over people that don't even know you. Study the candidate's point of view. That can be up for debate and discussion, but those personal attacks, man, let's get rid of them.
Steve, I really appreciate your call and your philosophy. And vote for who you want to vote for. But, man, you don't have to, like, you know, get ugly about it. Let's go to James in Metairie. Hey, James, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoot. Thank you very much. You know, Scoot, I'm fired up about something. This morning, I heard a former Louisiana State Senator say that he will be voting for Donald Trump even if Trump is in prison. That's third world thinking. We've lost our self-respect and what it means to be an American, Scoot, I think. Yeah. Now, throughout the weeks, so many of your callers have talked about, oh, Donald Trump gave us $2 a gallon gas. Okay, let's talk about that. First of all, the cost of a gallon of gas is largely driven by the cost of crude oil. And that's done on a worldwide market. It's 60% of every gallon of gas, the price, is determined by the price of crude. Now, today, it's about $75 a barrel. Here's the headline of an article I saw, and I'll try to get through this quickly. Trump is promising cheap gas. Too bad getting it would likely crash the economy. What he fails to mention about his precious $2 a gallon gas during his presidency was that the national average price of regular gas was only below that mark for 2 months. 2 months during the Trump presidency during COVID. The economy was shut down, and the demand, as you pointed out, for gas had plummeted. Now, to get to that price, the price of oil would have to drop from $75 a barrel to between $20 and $30 a barrel. U.S. oil producers would not be able to break even. They would the layoffs in the economy around the different, especially in Louisiana, it would be almost as bad, like maybe 20% layoffs.
Scott. That's exactly right. If oil got that low, think about how that would impact people in Louisiana. So be careful what you wish for.
Exactly. Scoot, it's a fable. $2 a gallon gas is not achievable. It will your neighbor will lose his job and everything would fall apart. It's a fantasy.
Yeah, it is a fantasy.
Folks.
So yeah, glad you called, James. But that's true. I mean, okay, the pandemic, it changed the balance of supply and demand. We were not driving, and as I've said. More than the president, much more than the president, it's the theory of supply and demand. And so with the pandemic, nobody was driving. The demand was down. The supply was there. The demand to drive was down. And so the prices went down because people weren't driving. So it was encouraging people to drive. I mean, this is the way it goes. When people are driving all over the place, the price of gas goes up. It tends to go down in the fall before the big holidays come up because we're not driving as much. So, you know, the everything that I have read about oil and gas, everything that I've read about the price of gas goes back to one thing, supply and demand. And I don't know how much a president has to do with supply and demand. I mean, I kind of know because the president doesn't have much to do with that. And Donald Trump can promise you whatever he wants to promise you, but he can't deliver $2 a gallon gas. Let's go to Joe in Metairie. Hey, Joe, you're on WWL.
Yeah, Scoot. I wanted to say when Trump was in office, the border was safe, no wars.
Yeah, but how was your? I'm asking the question. How was your life worse when Trump was president? I mean, how was your life better when Trump was president? Why is it worse now?
It was better because the whole country was better. My life.
No, I don't want to know. Don't tell me about the country.
More,
I want
wait,
you to.
No,
I want you to tell me about you.
Black people.
Well, tell me about you.
Than Obama did in 8 years.
Okay, tell me
my
what he did.
My life was better because things were safer.
Okay, so you think
were cheaper?
Well, wait, Joe, let's talk about this, okay? You feel like you were safer when Trump was president than you are now.
Yeah, the border I'm talking about.
Well, when is an illegal come in contact with you?
True.
When has an illegal Joe
letting all the illegals in like that?
No, of course not. When we've talked about this, of course I don't. When has an illegal come in contact with you?
When has an illegal come in contact with me?
When has an illegal immigrant come in contact with you?
Never.
Okay. Thank you. So the border's not really the issue that you make it out to be. It's bad. It needs to be controlled, but the border's
it's
not...
It's an issue for the people who lost their children
murdered by them.
It's an issue to them.
But the border's not an issue to you personally because you've never come in contact with an illegal immigrant. What else was better for you when Trump was president?
I just finished telling you. I mean, I know that time you head off on vacation, I thought you'd come back with your brain working a little bit better.
Okay. Well, Joe, listen.
Things were safer.
Tell me what you think Trump is gonna do if he's elected. How's he going to make your life better?
He's gonna stop the people coming over the border.
Okay, but you've already told us.
He's going to get rid of all illegals in the country.
All right, you've already told us that no...
That's a major thing.
You've already told us that no illegal has ever come in contact with you. ever.
No, and none has come in contact with you either.
Okay.
And a lot of other people who live in this country.
I'm not making the argument.
The people, the illegals, they kill the people's children.
Yeah.
How you think they feel?
Well, how do you think about the people who are suffering because an American citizen killed their loved ones? They feel the same way. What about those people? What about the people killed by Americans?
Yeah, but this is Joe Biden. Let these people in for no reason at all. I mean, it's
no.
Ridiculous.
He let them in. He let them in because he wants
Harris.
No, he's letting all the illegals in because he wants them to vote for him. They're going to all vote for him. The more illegals that come in,
well,
the more illegals are going to vote for.
And that's what the Republicans
right.
don't want. And that's what the Democrats that's got any sense don't want.
You don't want the illegals voting for Joe Biden.
No, I don't want them voting for nobody.
Well,
I want them back
it.
In their country.
They're gonna vote for Joe Biden, and they're going to put him in office. And I don't know if you can do anything about that, Joe. They're going to go to the voting polls.
But I mean, that's a sad thing.
It is, isn't it? It's sad when those illegals put somebody in office.
Yeah, can I say one other thing talking about
one
for a couple
thing.
Of weeks?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about James Carville.
Okay.
He was interviewed by Sean Hannity and by somebody on CNN the other day. He was making fun of RFK, making fun of the man's looks. A goofy-looking fool like that making fun of somebody.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
What do you look like, Joe? Describe yourself to me. You a handsome guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Nobody'd make fun of your looks?
No.
You make fun of the way I look?
Anybody makes fun of you? I don't know what you look like, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to make fun of you.
Yeah. All right. Well, Joe, just remember, we've got to close the border because the illegals are going to go to the polls and they're going to vote for Joe Biden. You know that, don't you?
Well, that's what I want to stop.
Okay. We got to stop that, Joe. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to try to stop that with you, okay? Because they're coming over to vote.
So that means you're going to vote for Trump.
They're coming over to vote for Joe Biden.
No, I don't want to know. You're going to vote for Trump to stop it?
I don't.
Because if you vote for Kamala, you ain't going to stop it.
I don't ever tell anybody who I vote for.
I know you keep saying you're independent, but I'd love to see your voting cards.
Yeah. Well, it's none of your business. I mean, that's something I just professionally have never done.
No, but I'll keep saying you're independent when you talk like Kamala.
Yeah. Well, I try not to talk about Kamala. Talk just like Kamala.
What about Carville making fun of RFK? What you think about it?
Well, I mean, I think James Carville's pretty weird looking. So I don't think he should be making fun of RFK.
He's got a hell of a nerve, that goofball.
Yeah, but Joe, look, we got to make sure, I mean, because those illegals, you know, the Democrats are going across the border and they're bringing them across to vote for Biden. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Joe, listen, I really appreciate the call. If you're on hold, stay with us. We're going to get to some of your texts and more of your calls coming up. If you want to join us, the Okunor Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1964, at the Delmonico Hotel in New York, the Beatles smoked pot with Bob Dylan and met him for the first time. Yeah, they got together for drinks, and Bob Dylan expressed interest in smoking a little weed. And so the Fab Four had their first taste of marijuana with Bob Dylan on this day in 64. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Hey, you know, when this song first came out, I mean, I loved it. This is Oasis, Live Forever. And I mean, to me, they sounded like the Beatles. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2009, after more incidents happened between the brothers Liam and Noel, I guess it is, these guys, you know, they couldn't get along. They're brothers. Oasis finally breaks up. I mean, it was one argument, one debate, one fight after another, and they finally broke up. And it's a shame because, you know, I think these guys had talent. I mean, some of it was a little cheesy, but, I mean, this song and Champagne Supernova, that was a good song, too. But, yeah, the two brothers, they couldn't get along, so they broke up on this day in 2009. All right, I'm Scoot. Let's hear a little bit about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. They're going to do an interview with the national media. If you've been waiting for this, wait no more. It's going to happen tomorrow night on CNN.
Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are hitting the road and the airwaves. Harris will sit down with CNN this week for her first interview since becoming the Democratic nominee. Walz will join her with the interview airing tomorrow night. The Trump campaign has been hitting Harris's lack of media access. While she often speaks with reporters on Air Force Two, the sessions are off the record, meaning her words cannot be used.
Why doesn't she do something like I'm doing right now? She can't talk.
She wants to represent America all over the world, but she's terrified to face a friendly media.
The interview will be conducted in Savannah, Georgia, as Harris and Walz kick off a bus tour through the state later today. Sagar Magani, Washington.
In remarks to the International Association of Firefighters Convention, Tim Walz, governor of Minnesota, says that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are not behind America's workers.
The only thing these guys know about working people is how to take advantage of them, how to not pay them. Every single chance they've gotten, they've waged a war on workers and the ability to collectively bargain. When it comes to so-called right-to-work laws that deprive unions of funds they need, Donald Trump has said he supports right-to-work 100%. Everybody in this room knows right-to-merc means right-to-work for less, right-to-work more dangerously, right-to-work for no pensions.
And January 6th is back in the news. New indictments for Donald Trump. Sometimes things don't change. There's new footage of then Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, reacting in real time to the thousands of MAGA fanatics who were rioting and attacking the Capitol.
She's heard saying that Donald Trump is an enemy, a domestic enemy in the White House, and that he would have to pay a price somehow for the attack on the Capitol January 6th. She also talks about a prompt impeachment and potentially mobilizing the cabinet or urging the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment. She also is unequivocal in her condemnation of the security failures that day by the U.S. Capitol Police, by the sergeant-at-arms of the House, of the security officials who would leave their jobs just hours after the U.S. Capitol attack, after the disgraceful failures of security. All of this comes as Congress investigates the security failures and how they happened that day. A Republican-led House subcommittee has been doing this for some time. They collected this video, though it was Democrats who released it this morning, ahead of what Republicans are likely to use as a way to criticize Nancy Pelosi.
You know, that was just such an embarrassing day in America's history. All right, we're going to get to some of your texts coming up in just a few minutes, so hang on. Let's go to Metairie, and Julie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm just calling to what you want to hear, how things were better with Trump and...
Yeah, tell me how your life was better when Trump was president. How was your life better?
Well, I was able to build a retirement house for 2.9% interest. I was able to live comfortably without using my credit cards, which now I have to use my credit cards for groceries and gas. I didn't have to worry about, I felt like our country was still number one. I didn't have to worry about anything, wars happening. It seemed like everything was just fine and dandy. Now, with Biden, credit cards are at the limit. My daughter can't buy a house, and she's a nurse. She can't buy a house. We have this new bill in California for illegals to get $150,000 for down payment on houses plus closing costs. But Americans can't buy houses.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. You know, buying a house is, it's a privilege. It's not a right. A lot of people can't buy houses.
Right.
It's because of the housing market. And that's something that you think the housing market's going to instantly change if Trump is elected?
Oh, yeah, I do.
You do. You built a retirement house. Did you overextend yourself in building the retirement house to where now you have to use credit cards?
I have my same job. Okay. I work the same hours. I do the same thing. I just have to use credit cards now. And don't say that it's a privilege. It's a privilege for houses to be given to illegals
What
but
have
not
you
for American people?
Okay, what have you given? I'm not familiar with that, so I can't comment on it. What
I'm telling you.
Okay, but I don't necessarily believe you just because you tell me, because a lot of people buy into rhetoric
the
that's
news,
not true.
Scoot.
Okay, I do watch the news. Look, that's only one point you're bringing up. What is it that you've given up because of inflation? What are you not buying anymore?
I didn't go on vacation. I didn't go on vacation this year.
Okay, what do you
I go every year.
What are you not, when you go to the store, what are you not buying?
I'm still buying, but I'm charging it.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yeah, so here's what happens.
Where before, I didn't have to charge.
When the prices are up and you pay the price, it's supply and demand. They're not going to lower the price. Maybe you should think about some things that maybe you shouldn't get. I don't know your personal finances, but it sounds like your personal finances were affected when Joe Biden took office. There are a lot of things that go on with the economy. If you listen to this show, you would be aware of many of these things. And most of the stuff that deals with the economy has nothing to do with the president. You know, your daughter may have a chance, and I hope she gets a chance to buy a house, because everybody wants things to be right for their kids. But next month, the feds could drop interest rates, and that could make things better for your daughter. I hope that changes the real estate market for people like your daughter, because I hope everybody gets to do that. It's a privilege. It's not a right, but I hope everybody gets to do that. You know, instead of charging up your credit cards, you might want to, I don't know, maybe there's something you can knock out during inflationary times. I don't know that inflation is that bad, but it's there. It's coming down, which is good news. Hopefully it continues to come down, but I just I don't believe that Donald Trump is going to wave a magic wand and make inflation go away completely. So anyway, I hope things work out for your daughter, Julie. I'm glad you've got your retirement home. I don't have a retirement home. So you know you've got that. I don't have that. Maybe you could borrow against your retirement home and not run up your credit cards. I don't know, but I sometimes there's a solution to not running up your credit cards during inflationary times. All right, we'll be right back with more. And if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to more of your calls. And we got a lot of texts to get to. And also, I run through a couple of things that while I was gone, even though it was just for a few days, I mean, nothing really changed. It's the same old news out there. And you would think that, you know, disengaging from the news completely and then checking back in, you'd like to think that some things have changed, but they really haven't. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Okay, more of your calls and a lot of your texts are coming up. So to our last caller, Julie in Metairie, she's built a retirement home. She's buying groceries on credit cards, and her daughter can't afford a home. I'm a parent. I have a suggestion for Julie. She's probably not going to like it, but it's what I would do. Anyway, she's saying that her life was better when Trump was president because of inflation now. I'll explain this when we come back right after the news. I'm Scoot on WWL. Hey, you know, when this song first came out, I loved it. This is Oasis, Live Forever. And I mean, to me, they sounded like the Beatles. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 2009, after more incidents happened between the brothers Liam and Noel, I guess it is, these guys, you know, they couldn't get along. They're brothers. Oasis finally breaks up. I mean, it was one argument, one debate, one fight after another, and they finally broke up. And it's a shame because, you know, I think these guys had talent. I mean, some of it was a little cheesy, but I mean, this song and Champagne Supernova, that was a good song too. But yeah, the two brothers, they couldn't get along, so they broke up on this day in 2009. All right, I'm Scoot. Let's hear a little bit about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. They're going to do an interview with the national media. If you've been waiting for this, wait no more. It's going to happen tomorrow night on CNN.
Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are hitting the road and the airwaves. Harris will sit down with CNN this week for her first interview since becoming the Democratic nominee. Walls will join her, with the interview airing tomorrow night. The Trump campaign has been hitting Harris's lack of media access. While she often speaks with reporters on Air Force Two, the sessions are off the record, meaning her words cannot be used.
Why doesn't she do something like I'm doing right now? She can't talk.
She wants to represent America all over the world, but she's terrified to face a friendly media.
The interview will be conducted in Savannah, Georgia, as Harris and Walls kick off a bus tour through the state later today. Sagar Magani, Washington.
In remarks to the International Association of Firefighters Convention, Tim Walls, governor of Minnesota, says that Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are not behind America's workers.
The only thing these guys know about working people is how to take advantage of them, how to not pay them. Every single chance they've gotten, they've waged a war on workers and the ability to collectively bargain. When it comes to so-called right-to-work laws that deprive unions of funds they need, Donald Trump has said he supports right to work 100%. Everybody in this room knows right to work means right to work for less, right to work more dangerously, right to work for no pensions.
And January 6th is back in the news. New indictments for Donald Trump. Sometimes things don't change. There's new footage of then Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi reacting in real time to the thousands of MAGA fanatics who were rioting and attacking the Capitol.
She's heard saying that Donald Trump is an enemy, a domestic enemy in the White House, and that he would have to pay a price somehow for the attack on the Capitol January 6th. She also talks about a prompt impeachment and potentially mobilizing the cabinet or urging the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment. She also is unequivocal in her condemnation of the security failures that day by the U.S. Capitol Police, by the sergeant-at-arms of the House, of the security officials who would leave their jobs just hours after the U.S. Capitol attack, after the disgraceful failures of security. All of this comes as Congress investigates the security failures and how they happened that day. A Republican-led House subcommittee has been doing this for some time. They collected this video, though it was Democrats who released it this morning, ahead of what Republicans are likely to use as a way to criticize Nancy Pelosi.
You know, that was just such an embarrassing day in America's history. All right, we're going to get to some of your texts coming up in just a few minutes, so hang on. Let's go to Metairie, and Julie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm just calling to what you want to hear. How things were better with Trump and...
Yeah, tell me how your life was better when Trump was president. How was your life better?
Well, I was able to build a retirement house for 2.9% interest. I was able to live comfortably without using my credit cards, which now I have to use my credit cards for groceries and gas. I didn't have to worry about, I felt like our country was still number one. I didn't have to worry about anything, wars happening. It seemed like everything was just fine and dandy. Now, with Biden, credit cards are at the limit. My daughter can't buy a house, and she's a nurse. She can't buy a house. We have this new bill in California for illegals to get $150,000 for down payment on houses plus closing costs, but Americans can't buy houses.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. You know, buying a house is, it's a privilege. It's not a right. A lot of people can't buy houses.
Right. So
and it's because of the housing market. And that's something that you think the housing market's going to instantly change if Trump is elected?
Oh, yeah. I do.
You do. You built a retirement house. Did you overextend yourself in building the retirement house to where you have to use credit cards?
I have my same job. Okay. I work the same hours. I do the same thing. I just have to use credit cards now. And don't say that it's a privilege. It's a privilege for houses to be given to illegals.
What have you,
American people?
Okay, what have you given? I'm not familiar with that, so I can't comment on it. What?
I'm telling you.
Okay, but I don't necessarily believe you just because you tell me, because a lot of people buy into rhetoric that's not true.
Okay,
I do watch the news. Look, that's only one point you're bringing up. What is it that you've given up because of inflation? What are you not buying anymore?
I didn't go on vacation this year.
Okay, what do you?
I go every year.
What are you not? When you go to the store, what are you not buying?
I'm still buying, but I'm charging it.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yeah. So here's what happens.
Where before I didn't have to charge.
When the prices are up, and you pay the price, it's supply and demand. They're not going to lower the price. Maybe you should think about some things that maybe you shouldn't get. I don't know your personal finances, but it sounds like your personal finances were affected when Joe Biden took office. There are a lot of things that go on with the economy. If you listen to this show, you would be aware of many of these things. And most of the stuff that deals with the economy has nothing to do with the president. You know, your daughter may have a chance, and I hope she gets a chance to buy a house, because everybody wants things to be right for their kids. But next month, the feds could drop interest rates, and that could make things better for your daughter. I hope that changes the real estate market for people like your daughter, because I hope everybody gets to do that. It's a privilege. It's not a right, but I hope everybody gets to do that. You know, instead of charging up your credit cards, you might want to, I don't know, maybe there's something you can knock out during inflationary times. I don't know that inflation is that bad, but it's there. It's coming down, which is good news. Hopefully it continues to come down, but I just I don't believe that Donald Trump is going to wave a magic wand and make inflation go away completely. So anyway, I hope things work out for your daughter, Julie. I'm glad you've got your retirement home. I don't have a retirement home. So you know you've got that. I don't have that. Maybe you could borrow against your retirement home and not run up your credit cards. I don't know, but I sometimes there's a solution to not running up your credit cards during inflationary times. All right, we'll be right back with more. And if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll get to more of your calls. And we got a lot of text to get to. And also, I run through a couple of things that while I was gone, even though it was just for a few days, I mean, nothing really changed. It's the same old news out there. And you would think that, you know, disengaging from the news completely and then checking back in, you'd like to think that some things have changed, but they really haven't. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. Okay, more of your calls and a lot of your texts are coming up. So to our last caller, Julie in Metairie, she's built a retirement home. She's buying groceries on credit cards, and her daughter can't afford a home. I'm a parent. I have a suggestion for Julie. She's probably not going to like it, but it's what I would do. Anyway, she's saying that her life was better when Trump was president because of inflation now. I'll explain this when we come back right after the news. I'm Scoot on WWL.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.